the government might say, we're going to fund some competitor of yours who might be have a quite inferior product, but suddenly the inferior product blows them out of the water because that's where the money is.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Bob Grabois. He's a senior research analyst at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. He writes a lot about healthcare, and he is particularly great on talking about the need for increasing the supply of healthcare. Bob, thanks for talking to Reason.
Glad to be here.
One of the fascinating kind of blind spots of Obamacare is that it, you know, it definitely increases the demand for healthcare. It brings more people into the insurance system and whatnot. It doesn't really do anything about the supply side of growing the number of healthcare providers or places you can get it. Why is that a problem?
Well, it's a problem. We've really, for 2 to 3 generations, we've almost completely ignored the supply side. There was this framing of the argument that the most important thing on earth was how many people had an insurance card in their wallet. And one side played that, and the other side basically answered, we can mail out insurance cards better than you can. So we've had a debate only on sort of one part of the scissors.
And can you talk a little bit about, like, does insurance equal health care or good health outcomes? Is that a clearly established connection?
No, insurance doesn't equal care, and care doesn't equal outcomes. We really should focus on health.
So what are the quickest ways that we can grow the supply of healthcare? What are the types of things that are standing in the way of just having more healthcare widely available?
I often quote John Cochran, University of Chicago, who asked, what's the best thing we could do to improve the supply of healthcare and the outcomes? And his answer was, look for every obstruction to the supply and get rid of it.
So what are some of those?
Well, there's a bunch at the federal level. The FDA is a clogs the system, slowly leaches out drugs and devices. The Medicare reimbursement system is probably the single biggest problem.
Wait, but that keeps healthcare from happening, even though, isn't that just the bill paying machine that they just kick out checks every time they're asked?
It is, well, not every time they're asked, but yeah, it's the bill paying machine, but essentially it says this qualifies as healthcare and this doesn't. We will pay for this. If we don't pay for it, don't do it.
Talk about certificate of need requirements in various states.
There are loads of state regulations. In fact, some of the worst regulations are at the state level. Certificate of need. I live in Virginia. In Virginia, if you want to open a new hospital, you've got to beg permission of the state authorities, who might very well be sitting on the board of the big wheezing old hospital in your town.
So it's if you have to go and beg for approval from people who may run hospitals you would be competing.
Essentially, or at least one step removed. And not just open a new hospital, expand an existing one, or even just to buy a CAT scan machine to put in your hospital.
Really? And then what about, I know Walmart and a couple other places are trying to open up health clinics in their stores or urgent care places where people can drop in. Is it being made harder than it should be?
Well, it's certainly being made harder than it should be. At the same time, that's a good fix. It's a partial fix. It's a more efficient way of distributing the stuff that's out there. It's not getting the stuff that's not out there on the table.
Well, talk a little bit about that then. So, what's in the pipeline? What are the big innovations that might, just totally crack open, this kind of healthcare squeeze? Because at this point, everybody has to wait to see a doctor. You never know if you're going to get in, stuff like that. So what would revolutionize the supply of healthcare?
We are in what a couple of people have called a Cambrian explosion of new technologies that are ready to happen. So, for example, 3D printed hands. I've got one sitting in my office. An FDA-approved prosthetic costs $25,000 to $80,000. The 3D printed ones, which work quite well, cost $5 to $10. But none of our insurance will pay for those. And that's
although
just,
on a certain level, if it's $5 to $10, you don't need insurance, right?
Exactly.
So this is a really huge workaround.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. However, there are other technologies coming on stream. We are on the verge of having, for instance, 3D printed organs, hearts, livers, kidneys, whatever, made of your own cells, so there's no need for a donor, there is no need for rejection. However, the extreme caution extreme caution within the FDA and within other agencies, and by the way, within the private sector, within the medical societies, may be slowing these things much more than they need to. But at the same time, we've got the genomic revolution. It's now possible to create a drug that is only good for Nick Gillespie, and a different one for me, even if we've got the same illness. However, FDA trials take large groups, 15 years, and they're not going to get a large sample of Nick Gillespie's.
Right.
What else is coming on? Wearable telemetry.
What is telemetry? What do you mean?
Sure, wearable telemetry. So instead of going down to the doctor to get your blood pressure and your heart rate, you wear something that's giving a continuous and thereby much more accurate read. Social media have all sorts of medical applications. It's now easier for Google, looking at their searches, to describe an ongoing epidemic, for instance, than it is for the CDC to figure it
out. Is this kind of like with copyright violations and unauthorized downloads and whatnot, where this innovation is going to happen, and it's just the question, is it going to happen in our lifetimes, or are we not going to be able to see this, and technology will just leapfrog all of this, and things will be better at some point?
I think they will. I think they will happen. The question is, as you say, will it happen in our lifetime? I think a more relevant question may be, is it going to happen in the United States, or are we going to lose the technological edge because we slow everything down? This is not like developing a billion-dollar drug. A lot of these technologies require relatively low capital investments and low amounts of labor.
Is this a, I mean, is it ultimately is it kind of up to individuals to demand this and to create it on their own in a way? Because we're obviously the FDA is not responsive to individual patients. It's not even really, it's not responsive to needs. The government tends not to be, insurers are not. I mean, they're hardly, you know, quick moving. I mean, does it really come down to individuals kind of demanding this and creating it on their own?
It does, though. You know, I've been traveling the country meeting with innovators, and I mean, some of them are just doing absolutely dazzling things. But just about all of them have a common fear, which is, it's going to take me years to develop this, it's going to cost a lot of money, I've got some backing, and at the stroke of a pen, a regulator could say, can't do this, and I'm out. Or, at the same time, the government might say, we're going to fund some competitor of yours who might be have a quite inferior product, but suddenly the inferior product blows them out of the water because that's where the money is.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll leave it there. When do you think, actually, for a final question, when do you think we'll actually start having a national conversation about the supply of healthcare rather than the demand for it?
Well, I'll have a paper out in about a month. I'm hoping that's exactly when it starts. And I'll just close with saying, I'm often asked, how do we get there? And the answer, first of all, you don't get there by coming up with a big comprehensive bill and squabbling over it like we did with the ACA. I think it's really going to be something like World War II Pacific Theater Warfare, where it's one island at a time. And that's the way we get there, at the state level, at the federal level, and through the medical societies and medical schools, which are also impediments.
Yeah. Do those cheap prosthetic hands, do they motivate the middle finger to give to the people that are holding back medical innovation?
Have you been talking to somebody about that?
Not at all, but we'll leave it there. Bob Graboys, he's a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Look for him at their website, mercatus.org. Bob, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Nick.